This is Earth Files, the award-winning news site with the latest updates in science, environment, and real X-Files, podcasting in-depth reports beyond the 6 o'clock news by Emmy Award-winning journalist Linda Moulton Howe.
Strange, unidentified, orange, fiery lights have been reported at various times in both hemispheres of this planet over the past half century, even as recently as July 2007 in England. On July 14th, high strangeness took place in the English county of Warwickshire, at a pub in Shakespeare's hometown of Stratford-upon-Avon. The pub is called the Lone Elm on Birmingham Road in the center of town. That night, around 10:30 p.m., at least 8 employees and about 100 people in the pub all watched orange lights move into formation in the sky. The lights stopped still in a pattern that did not change for nearly a half hour, and no sound. One of the pub visitors was Tom Hawks, a local resident who works in customer care for the British Land Rover Company. He had his Olympus digital camera that can take both still frames and up to 40 minutes of videotape with the click of a button. Tom taped at least 5 minutes of those lights. One of his video frames was used by the Stratford Herald in the first news story about the event, and Tom's video is now available at a hot link in my earthfiles.com news report about this English pub sighting. The very next weekend, on Sunday, August 22nd, about 150 miles southeast in Farnborough, Hampshire, other eyewitnesses watched and photographed 9 red lights which suddenly appeared one by one by one, popping in, they said, a few at a time, and then moved into various formations before disappearing again, quote, as if you switched off a light, unquote. I wondered if the 2007 orange lights in English skies might be the same craft that showed up in the United States and Canada over the last 50 years. Red-orange, fiery spheres of light in the air and near the ground were seen by law enforcement and ranchers all over North America back in the late 1960s to early 1970s. Eyewitnesses linked the appearances of the red-orange balls of fire to animal mutilations and intrusions on nuclear missile bases over 3 weeks in October to November 1975. Several Strategic Air Command bases in the northern states were placed on a high-priority alert because of unidentified aircraft flying at low altitude over atomic weapons storage areas. On October 30, 1975, at Wurtsmith Air Force Base, not far from the Rollaway Campground near Meo, Michigan, on the Osable River, low-flying orange lights hovered and moved up and down erratically near the airbase perimeter. Some of the mysterious aircraft were boldly flying and hovering right over the totally restricted nuclear weapons storage area. Only 4 months before then, in July 1975, Richard Johnson and his friend John, both in their early 20s, went camping at Rollaway Campground on the Osable River in Michigan, west of Wurtsmith Air Force Base. They arrived and set up their tents during daylight and went hiking. After their return, the two young men were shocked by what turned up across the river.
As the evening rolled along, we were sitting on these kind of high banks, and the river's quite wide there. And we noticed across the river that we thought someone was camping because there was a large fire. And we hadn't noticed it before. It was like an orange glow. So the next thing we know, this orange ball pops up and goes down above the treetops. And we're looking at each other like, did you see that? And yeah. Well, this thing popped up and down and came out and came down the river. It was in front of us. And it was probably about 20 feet in diameter. And it was just an orange ball. Now, I can tell you, we were pretty frightened. The hair on my neck was standing up. And I said, whatever it is, it knows we're here. I started talking to it, thinking, you know, what are you? What do you want? It was just an orange ball. It looked like it was on fire, you could say, and it moved up to about 2 o'clock on us, like flames, because that's exactly what we thought we saw around it, was flames. It kept coming in towards us and back and in towards us. Of course, we were out in the middle of nowhere. We had nowhere to go.
The orange color, the listeners would know. What would that be?
Kind of like when the sun sets, that kind of an orange. Of course, this was like 12 midnight, you know, so.
And it's close to you.
It was pretty, yeah, it was close. I would say it was probably within 50 yards.
Was it casting any light and shadows on the ground?
You know, to be honest with you, I don't remember, Linda, because, you know, we didn't know what to think.
Right.
We were afraid.
This is spherical as far as you're concerned?
Yes.
Not a disc shape?
Nope, it was spherical.
Around the sphere, what exactly looks like flames?
Well, when it moved up to the 2 o'clock position, it just seemed like it had these little flames coming off the edges of it. I talked to my friend John about this. He remembers that, too. We thought somebody had a great big fire going over there on the edge of the trees, and that somebody perhaps was camping over there. But all of a sudden, you know, we saw part of the edge of the ball pop up, and then all of a sudden it was bouncing up and down on the treetops, moving to our right. And then it came out down the river to our right, and then slowly made its way up and towards in front of us.
So it was doing that bouncing ball look along the trees.
Yes. We were saying, which way is it moving now? And I said, right? He goes, yes, it's right. And then it would go down and come up. So we wanted to verify that we were watching the same thing.
How close did it come to you?
I would say, like, on the other side of the river, which, in my guess, would be 50 yards, no more than 75.
It never crossed the river to you?
No, it just came down.
Okay, now describe the motion that you were perceiving, that it was coming toward you and then backing up and so forth.
Like I said, it was bobbing up and down the treetop, but when it came out to the river where it was in full view, it just slowly moved with no bobbing straight in front of us. And then there was no sound.
When you say it moved just straight in front of you, do you mean it's still staying on the other side of the river, or did it cross the river and come right up to you?
No, it stayed over on the other side of the river.
But you could see what you thought was its motion up to the riverbank and then back and then forward and back?
Right.
At any point, did either of you have any telepathic impressions?
I just knew that whatever it was, it realized we were there. And, you know, back then I was 20 years old and I was just, we did try to communicate with it telepathically. You're correct. We did. We did try to do that. But to no avail. We didn't hear anything or no voices or nothing. But we did try to communicate with it telepathically. I can't believe you said that, because yes, we did do that.
Okay. And how long did this sort of cat and mouse forward, backward go on?
Well, I want to say it went on for about 40 minutes.
What did the two of you say to each other about what is this?
Well, I had told my buddy John, I said, it has to be a UFO, you know, and that it knows we're here. And we, be honest with you, we didn't know, you know, we just didn't know what it was. We just knew that it was something we'd never seen. We said to each other that nobody's going to believe us when we get back. And now the strange thing about it is we both don't remember when it left, but we were laying on our backs and we kind of looked at each other and just went, oh my gosh.
The last memory that you have is you're not standing up anymore, but you're laying down, and the orange sphere is gone, and you're wondering what happened?
Yeah, now, see, we were actually sitting on the edge of the bank with our feet over, because the banks were probably about 20 feet high. So we were just sitting on the edge of the bank while looking at the stars and listening to animals, and neither one of us could remember when it left, but I do remember when we were on our backs. And we kind of looked at each other and just, oh my God. And then we went to our tents and went to sleep.
Since that time, which was in July of 1975, have you ever had any truly vivid dreams that included this sphere?
No, I haven't. I've heard of a lot of similar sightings.
What about other vivid dreams of anything that you would put in the category of non-human?
Yes, I've had dreams of UFOs, yeah.
And what happened? What would be the most vivid recollection?
Oh, boy. I remember one dream about UFOs that were, it wasn't good. I mean, it was, I was trying to hide from them, and they were all over the place. I'm not really sure what was going on, but I knew that I had to hide.
In the dream, what are you seeing in the sky when you say they're all over the place? What shapes and how many?
Disc-shaped, you know, I'm trying to go back here, geez, about 10 years.
That's when you had the vivid dream.
Yeah. What 1997, what's important about that date is, you know, I used to watch that show Sightings all the time. I was watching it, and it said in the summer of 1975 that three orange balls came down into three Air Force bases. One, I believe, was in Maine, and one was in North or South Dakota, and one was in Wurzburg Air Force Base, which we were not too far from. And it said that three orange balls came in to these Air Force bases one particular night, and that they had disarmed their nuclear weapons, and that they were spotted by several people on the base. And I said, oh, my God, maybe that's what I saw. Because, you know, when we were camping out there during the day, we could see bombers going over. You know, they were doing their runs.
So that night on the river, how far would you have been from that Air Force base?
I'm sure I was within a 30-mile radius.
So what that orange fiery sphere might have been doing that July of 1975 when you and John were sitting on the river, it might have been monitoring the military base.
Correct.
And what you don't know is whether you two were abducted or one of you were abducted.
Right, I don't know that.
In 1997, what vivid dream did you have?
You know, I just remember that I was in a city and it was one of those things where I was just right there all of a sudden, nothing built up to it. There was UFOs flying everywhere, and they were saucer-shaped. The sky looked kind of grayish, and all I knew is I had to hide. I had to get behind these bushes, and I did. And from what I can remember, there were things walking down the street, which I didn't see, but I just had that feeling that I needed to get down and get out of the way. But I remember just looking up in the sky and saying, oh, my God, there's UFOs everywhere.
What was walking down the street?
I don't know. A presence that I knew I had to hide from. And I couldn't tell what they were. I mean, I don't know if they were grays. I don't know what they were, but I knew I just had to hide.
If you could estimate how many you were seeing in any of your memory, could you talk about it in terms of dozens or hundreds or thousands or whatever?
Oh, I would say dozens.
And the sky being gray sounds as if this is not night.
No. It was like an overcast day. I hid in like this hedge.
Once you're in the hedge, what happens in the dream?
I remember I was just thinking this, something's not right here, and that where did all these UFOs come from, and we're being invaded or something. And so, you know, I got out of that dream pretty quick.
Have you been worrying about the possibility that the dream will come true, the skies will be filled with discs, and that you will have to hide?
You know, I believe that there's probably several people visiting our planet, and some are good and some are bad. But I do believe that we're going through some changes. I don't know if this is any different than what anybody else has ever felt throughout the years, but I just feel that something's going to happen, and I don't know as far as maybe contact and everybody actually knowing what's going on. But, yeah, I have a little anxiety about it, but at the same time, I have a little excitement, too.
It would be nice to get past all the lies and get to the facts of whatever it is that interacts with our planet.
Correct, because it's been going on for a long, long time. And I believe that the truth's been hidden from us, and we have a right to know.
Thanks for listening to this Earth Files podcast from the edges of science, environment, and real X-Files. Go to www.earthfiles.com to see more than 1,000 Earth Files reports with photographs, drawings, and documents. And visit Earth Files every day, every week, for new reports and new podcasts. That's www.earthfiles.com.